In the name of Jesus Christ, our champion. Dear athletes of the heavenly nation, apparently the Europeans aren't buying it. Apparently it's just our American media again. A new view of the Olympics that blurs the borders between the nations. Europeans still care what nation they're from, and maybe most of the American athletes do too. But it sure points out something that's changed since centuries ago when the Lord's Apostle Paul was inspired to write these words about the Isthmian Games on the Isthmus of Corinth, when the Olympics in Greece were still fresh. Things have changed. One of those changes, besides their attempt to blur the borders, are the prizes. In those ancient times, there was none of this consolation silver or bronze medal. It wasn't even a gold medal. It was just a crown, a wreath, put on the head of the winner, and it was winner takes all. Everybody else walked away with nothing. So everybody absolutely worked hard to be number one, to win that race, because second place was still losing. It's that intensity that the Lord wants us to catch from His Apostle Paul today, this intense drive that we would have to say, go for the gold. Go for the gold. Get the prize. These verses are the summary of what Paul has been saying for the last couple chapters about Christian freedom and the exercise of Christian freedom. Among other problems that this church in Corinth had, I've told you that if you went into a store and you were looking for problems that churches could have, all the labels would not say made in America or made in China. The labels would all say made in Corinth. And one of the many problems that this church had was a whole bunch of very talented people who had great knowledge of the Scripture and of Christianity, but they lacked the love to practice it in a way that helped the weak. So, they could make real precise distinctions about idol meats. You know, they lived among idol temples. Idols are nothing. You can eat the meat sold in market, don't worry about it. They didn't even worry about it if they were at a relative's house, because unless someone raised the question, who cares? The idols are nothing. Fine distinction for those who have the knowledge and the strength to make it. They knew, as you do, that Christ, by living a perfect life in our place and dying our death and setting us free, has freed us from the curse and coercion of the law. We do not have God's threats of damnation hanging over our head all the time as under the law, and that law driving us along to make us do things or else. We're free. We're free from the curse and coercion of the law, but we're set free for willing compliance. Willing compliance to live a life of love, because love is the fulfillment of the law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the fulfillment of the law, and knowledge without love is just a puffed up individual, like you had among those in Corinth. So Paul spends chapter 8 talking about eating idol meats and taking care of the weak in the way that you do it, watching out for those who maybe don't have the understanding that you do. And then he applies this to himself when he gets to chapter 9. Paul could say to the congregation of believers, follow me, imitate me, as I follow Christ. Look at what I'm doing in my life, and by my actions, you can see what I believe and teach. I believe and teach in Christian freedom. Now I'll show you how I'll apply that Christian freedom. And in Corinth, Paul gave up his apostolic and pastoral right to a paycheck. That's what he did. He said he robbed other churches like the Philippians, Macedonians included there, Thessalonians that would send money to support Paul, and he made tents on the side to support himself because he didn't want that pastoral paycheck to get in the way of these weak Christians in Corinth. He gave up his right. And he said in chapter 9, I'll put up with anything. Put up with anything and give up these rights so that I don't stand in the way of the gospel. See, preaching the gospel to the Lord's apostle Paul, telling about Christ crucified and risen, was so much everything to him. He said, I'll put up with anything. I want to preach the gospel. I want to share it. And I want to rejoice in what it means for me. You see what he's doing. You could say, go for the gold. Get the prize. Heaven is a free gift of God's grace. You're headed there because God called you, persecutor Paul, out of the darkness of sin and unbelief into his wonderful light. Press on. Go for the gold. Get the prize. Don't let anything get in your way. Do all things for the glory of God and in love for the weak. Most of us have learned these principles since we were little. What I'm telling you, your parents taught you, and your pastors, and your Sunday school teachers. We are free in Christ. We're not under the law, we're under grace. We try to apply this to everything we do, and we tried to apply it to the Super Bowl fundraiser that we did last weekend. I've tried over the years as the pastor to fulfill my obligation to teach the congregation good giving practices from the Lord, and the blessings are obvious. The Lord has blessed this congregation that our per communicant giving has turned around tremendously in the last few years. It's amazing. But especially with our ladies' fellowship and all the energy that they have for wanting to do things, I've tried to stress two basic principles. You've heard me talk about these before. One is that when it comes to Christian giving, God wants Christians to be giving, not going out into the community and asking all the unchurched people to pay our bills. We go to the point with that we tell our visitors, we don't expect you to take part in the offering unless you're convinced that this is worth supporting. We want to do this out of thankfulness and freedom in Christ. Principle number two is that our Lord Jesus wants his Father's house to be a house of prayer and not a marketplace. So that's what we tried to put into effect, put into practice last Sunday. After preaching those principles and teaching them all these years, I didn't want to stand in the way of my Christian sisters with this enthusiasm because we have a need in the synod. The seminary needs help. So why not have some fun? As long as it's carefully explained, we're doing this amongst ourselves, not asking the community. Why not let the ladies bring snacks and call each other as they did and put up colorful posters, and everybody who wants to can set them on the table. It's a donation. No price tags. Not a market. Give if you want to. Don't if you don't. Sounds like Christian freedom, doesn't it? Now we have to evaluate. Now we have to look back in the light of God's word, because in Christian freedom, we can say everything is permissible. But Paul says not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. So you see the principle. Everything we Christians do, we do to the glory of God and for the sake of our neighbor, not for show, but to glorify God and to take care of those who may not understand. So were our actions understood? Did our actions clearly say what we believe? Last Sunday afternoon, I got a call from a truck driver in Michigan who heard about our Super Bowl snacks last Sunday morning in Shoreview, Minnesota. I kid you not. Retired pastor, driving truck, and first of all wanted me to tell the congregation thank you so much for the internet sermons. He and his wife listen week after week. It's a great ministry. They're thankful. But he was concerned. Because in the congregations where he had served, other Lutheran congregations, he said he had a terrible time. People always wanted to do fundraisers instead of Christian giving. Just giving outright offerings. So he was frustrated in those congregations as he tried to teach the principles to people that wouldn't have anything to do with it. And he was concerned because his wife and he loved the way this congregation just gave out of the thankfulness to the Lord, and he was concerned that we were drifting away from that clear practice of what we preach. He wasn't the only one. Without the details, I'll just tell you that at least one of our members was concerned, are we now making the Lord's house into a market? I mean, if you walk out those doors and you didn't hear everything that went on before, I mean, what our dear ladies heard in fellowship and so forth, you'd see all the things on the table. You wouldn't know if you were just walking out as a visitor that there were no price tags on there. Would you know? Mature member, generous visitor, who had misconceptions left from an announcement I made a few weeks ago about it. Go for the gold. Get the prize. How's the gold? Is it tarnished? Did our practice clearly reflect and teach what we believe? Lord's Apostle Paul says, Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like one running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Are we disqualified? We blow it. You know, if left to ourselves, we would blow it every time, and you know it. Just think about the man in all his enthusiasm and excitement. I mean, I had never seen a leper until that trip to China last fall, and I can see why someone healed of leprosy would just be so elated he'd want to tell everyone, but he didn't follow the Lord's instructions. He let his excitement get the best of him, and he then ended up hindering the gospel. I don't run, Paul says, as one running aimlessly. Every coach knows what this is talking about. You can get players all excited, that's easy. But to keep them running between the boundaries, to keep them all headed in the same direction, this reminds me of track my freshman year in high school. And a classmate that running the mile just beat me time after time. Frustrating. You know, you got to beat your classmates for starters and then start winning on the track, right? I remembered this passage and I watched how he ran. Whenever he'd run, he was flailing his arms. It was this way, and it was just not a good straight. And I thought, I'll work on my form. Run silent, run deep. Don't make any noise. Make it all go for the goal line. It wasn't too long before our situation reversed. And this passage meant more to me than ever. To not run aimlessly, but to get all that energy headed in the same direction to the glory and praise of God. Don't run aimlessly. Don't fight as one beating the air. I beat my body. The literal translation here is, I know right where to hit to give myself a black eye. Because I have this old sinful nature that no matter what I do, he's going to go against God. We're born with this. We get it from our parents. It's called original sin, sin of origin. We pass it on to our children, and we're not free of it until finally we're home with God in heaven. But as believers, we also have a new nature. This new nature wants to please God, wants to help our neighbor, and the old Adam, the old sinful nature, is constantly fighting with the new nature. And Paul says, I give him a black eye. I'm not shadow boxing here. I know right where to punch him. Well, I'm a little slow. Took me till Tuesday morning in my prayers before getting up. Finally lying there and praying about this and asking, Lord, give me wisdom. What was my giving like? I love the enthusiasm of my sisters in Christ. I think we tried to do everything according to your word, but what happened in my heart and my giving? Black eye. I wonder how many people here that were here last Sunday noticed something very important missing from the worship service. I've asked this question and nobody has answered it correctly yet. Something missing from the worship service. If the Lord wants this to be a house of prayer, and we have a fundraiser and no prayer, whose responsibility is it to say the prayer? And why didn't he? Because this old sinful nature of mine, earthbound that I am, thinks to the Super Bowl, the snacks, the things, not to the glory of God. So the prayer was omitted. And that might explain why the brothers that I asked during the week, what was that fundraiser for? Get this. They remembered the Super Bowl. They did not remember the seminary goal. So, we forgot the prayer. Is it a house of prayer? The glory of God? Not with this pastor. And then I looked at my giving. And I thought, you know, probably like everybody else that took part, you look at the snacks, you know what they're worth, and you give far more than they're worth. Right? You feel generous. I looked at that and I thought, you know, this was less than half of what I would normally give to a door offering, and far less than I would have given if we had called it a seminary Sunday. Why? Because all of a sudden we've got an element in there that wasn't there before. Now I am giving to get something. Key distinction. It finally dawned on me. This is what we mean by fundraisers. Fundraisers always mean giving something to get something. So you look at what I've called fundraisers in the Bible, and it's not a good use of the term in this case. Old Testament to build the tabernacle. They took offerings from the people. Build the temple in Jerusalem. David provided out of his treasury for that. Solomon, his son, built the temple. New Testament. Gifts for the famine victims in Jerusalem. Collected in 1 Corinthians and Romans and then taken in 2 Corinthians. Book of Acts talks about that. What was different there? They all just gave. There was no giving to get. They walked away with nothing except the joy of the thankfulness that Christ died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. I don't need any more for that. There was no giving to get. $358 isn't bad. That's more than we had before the fundraiser for the seminary. But I got to tell you something. You remember, before I went to China, I rather sheepishly made the comment in Bible class that we really needed to replace the old projector that had died. Do you know that before I walked out of that Bible class, someone had written a check for $250? By the time I got back from China, we were all excited because we were able to use our Thrivent grant from last year. That was $1,300. But when we checked the numbers, God's people at New Life had given more than double that for the projector. Who walked away with anything? There was no giving to get. It was just pure thankfulness. And this is how it has happened again and again. But as soon as we introduced that other element, I wonder if there were some who want to help the seminary in the future training of pastors, but then on the other hand question how that was done. Now we've burdened consciences. Somebody fills over a barrel. Didn't intend that. Law of unintended consequences. And the element threw us off. You see, because we are sinners in a sinful world, no matter how hard we try, no matter what we do, it will always be tainted by sin, and we know that. And it's just another time to step back and say, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Like Paul in Romans 7, the good that I want to do, I don't do. The evil I don't want to do, this I keep on doing. I'm wretched. Who will deliver me? And the answer comes back, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the wonder of Christ's perfect life, to which you are connected by your baptism. Christ's innocent death, by which we die through our baptism. And the new life of Christ's resurrection, for which this church was named, and in which we strive to live as we go for the gold to get the prize. And concerned as Paul was, not be disqualified. If the Lord's apostle Paul had to say, I beat my body and make it my slave, lest after I have preached to others, I myself might be disqualified for the prize. Don't all of us have to have that very valid concern? Lord, help us. Don't let us flail in our running. Don't let us shadow box at the air. Help us to stay true, straight, living in the forgiveness that, thank God, is for pastors and people alike. So what shall we do? To me, this takes me back to my childhood with my dad and brothers and sisters on the trails in the Oregon forest. Dad, can we go over there? Sure, go ahead. Just don't go out of sight. If you can't see me, I can't see you. He let us go off this trail, that trail, whatever. As soon as we got too far, you'd hear the whistle. That got us back in a hurry. Often in our Christian freedom, our Heavenly Father says, go ahead, try it. You try this, you try that. Some things work, some things don't. Live in freedom and boldness. But could we do better? Could we maybe take this as a challenge from our Heavenly Father to try again? Would our ladies' fellowship be willing in a few months, like sometime next fall, to take all that beautiful enthusiasm, beautiful posters, phone calls to members, encouragement in person, try again? But this time, a genuine MLC Sunday for our college in New Ulm, where all of our pastors, teachers, and staff ministers are trained, right here in Minnesota. And maybe get someone here to show some pictures and talk about the school so that you realize what a treasure we have right in our own backyard, and then a challenge for our board for lay ministry. Could we perhaps match part or all or at least half of our offerings in the service to a door offering or work it out some way like that? Because I'm convinced from what I've seen, God's work in this congregation, what God has done in your hearts, I've seen this over and over again, that if we were to say that half of an offering was going to go to match a door offering, I mean, you wouldn't worry about the logic of that. Say, why not? And there are people in this congregation, if they knew that their normal check was $100 and half of it was going to the seminary or to the college, it'd be $200 that week. It's happened again and again. You see what happens when we run in the freedom of Christ. Because Christ has set us free, because he has promised heaven to us as a free gift of his grace, he says, follow me. Put your footsteps in my footsteps. Listen to the sound of my voice and be concerned about those around you who might get the wrong impression or just might not know any better, might not have it clear. Go for the gold. Because when God's people go for the gold, we're following Christ. And no one needs to wonder, what was that all about? This is gratitude and thankfulness in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and the Savior of the world. Amen. Please rise. Thank you.